Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to Bowie, Maryland, home of the Bay Sox. We're Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Bay Sox home for the duration of the week. You can catch them through Sunday. Saturday is Star Wars night. They're wearing R2-D2 jerseys benefiting University of Maryland Medical System Foundation. Fireworks following the game at 6:35. And then on Sunday, Gunnar Henderson bobbleheads going to be given out to the first 750 fans. We've had a really enjoyable day out here. Nats prospect Robert Hassel was on the show in person. Make sure you grab that podcast at thefandc.com. He was one of the main ingredients that came back in the return for Juan Soto. Also on the show today, on the phone, we talked to Spencer Carberry, the new head coach of the Washington Capitals. So if you missed that, you want to grab the podcast at grantanddanny.com/audio. But big day out in Ashburn. OTAs ongoing for the Commanders. New offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy meeting with the media in Ashburn for the first time in season. He had a lot to say about how things are going so far at practice.
It's been fun. It's been a challenge. The guys have been working extremely hard. Our coaching staff is doing a heck of a job of getting these guys together, making sure that they have a complete understanding of what we want and what we expect. So far, so good. Now, OTAs is ended. We're on to the next step, which is vet minicamp. So with that said, I'm all ears.
So I'm curious what you have seen from Sam Howell over the couple weeks, and what have you learned about him during this period?
Well, first of all, Sam's a very competitive kid. The thing I love about him, too, he's smart. He understands some of the times when he's making mistakes. And the only thing he wants to know is what can he do to get better. More than anything, I'm enjoying just watching him work and watching how he handles the highs and the lows, because you're going to have some of that throughout the course of working during the offseason, just like you would if you were playing in the game. But the thing that I love about him is that he's always staying steady. His demeanor does not change. And he's very, very competitive. And I will say this, he auto-corrects himself as well, because he knows exactly what he did and what he should have done, which is a good thing.
And then for you, and we kind of talked to you about the,
That'd have been bad.
Talked to you about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, but how energized do you feel? And you kind of feel, do you almost look, in hindsight, look back and feel maybe you needed this kind of recharge for yourself?
You know what? It's fun. It's you guys gonna learn. I'm pretty loud at practice. So, but it's fun. But that's the beauty of being out there, because you get an opportunity to interact with your guys. You get an opportunity to watch them work. The thing that I want them to understand while we're out there is maximizing every single opportunity that we have. And so, yes, you have to create energy. We have to bring that energy so our players can feed off of that, so they can be excited about the opportunities that lies ahead. Practice should not feel like practice, okay? We're all in this professional arena. We get to have fun. This is professional sports. So why not go out there and enjoy what you do? But there's a professional way in which we got to get it done. We got to have a sense of urgency. We got to have a sense of purpose, all right? And then we got to have a plan on what we want to accomplish each and every day. I know practice is not going to be perfect, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But as long as we're working hard, and as long as we're working on three things minimal per player on something to help improve our game, then you know what? We're giving ourselves a chance down the line.
I was going to ask you, we saw yesterday you had the guys repeat some plays again and some drills as well. And what were some – I know each situation will be different, but what are those things that for you are – this is not acceptable at this point that you want them to do? How big were they, or how small are some of the details?
Well, it's first of all, we got to get out of the huddle. We got to know where to align. And then on top of that, we need to know exactly how we want to accomplish this particular scheme, this particular play, and depending on what the situation is, how we're going to handle that particular situation. So at the end of the day, I want those guys to get it. All right? I want them to have an understanding that, you know, we can't waste these opportunities. We only have so many reps throughout the course of a practice, so we have to make it right. You know, now I understand at times we're going to make mistakes, but I also got to look at myself in the mirror and make sure that I'm doing the right thing and communicating the message clearly so they have a complete understanding, but also too that the message has been received. So a part of that, yes, at times Coach EB can get out of hand, okay, but also too those guys know I want them to strive for perfection in order to achieve excellence by having a complete understanding of what we're doing and how we're going to get it done.
And on the offensive line with Andrew and Sam, you've got two guys who've been playing primarily right tackle the last couple of years, but you obviously have Andrew staying there and Sam inside. What ultimately for you led to that decision? Obviously, you knew Andrew, but what led you to decide that's the way you wanted to go with those guys?
Well, at the end of the day, you just want your best five to play. And so you're going to put those guys in the best situations that's going to give us the best opportunity. Obviously, Wiley has played the right tackle position now for a number of years. He's also played guard. Sam has played tackle, but also we thought his best ability would be inside. But all of those guys have to remain flexible because throughout the course of the season, knock on wood, you hate to say this, but injuries happen. And so these guys have to have the ability to have some position flex so they can go and line up and give us an opportunity if something was to happen. So at this particular time and talking with our O-line coach, this is the best situation for all of them. And not saying that, you know, that one of those guys won't move at some point in time. But we want to give those guys the best opportunity because we feel that gives us the best opportunity to go be successful right now.
With the CBA and the limits on how much you're able to spend time on the field with the players, how far along do you feel? I mean, you've got new quarterback, new concepts. There's a lot of new stuff coming here. How's it going?
You know what? It's going good. We're we're still at the beginning. I mean, it's still the intro section of where we're at. But I will say this. These guys have done a heck of a job of working at it. We're challenging them to study. We're challenging them to study all the film. We want them to gain a perspective of how we're going to get things done. On top of that, it's all about creating a culture of accountability and creating a culture of how we work and how we do things. So it's still in its infant stages, but the thing that I like is that these guys have been receptive. They've been working their tails off, okay? These are professional football players. It ain't like we got a bunch of bad apples in the room. These guys, they want to do it right. They may not know it right now on how to do it the right way all the time, but they want to do it the right way. And that's the thing that makes it fun.
Mistakes are natural, right?
And yes.
Throughout life, though, when you have transitions and changes, there's often kind of hurdles and roadblocks. Have you experienced any pushback or have there been any situations where you've had to lean back?
No, and so there hasn't been any issues. But one thing, I'm always open and honest with the guys. If I make a mistake, hey, fellas, I screwed this up. I told you the wrong thing. I shouldn't have done that. So my job is to make sure that I'm also being accountable and displaying that so these guys can gain that trust within me. Because the last thing you want to do is lose that trust based on something that you told them that wasn't a fact or that wasn't right or it didn't apply in that particular situation. So, yes, I have made mistakes. And I'm not afraid of showing my vulnerability. And so I want them to be the same. And so I see that. And these guys, like I said, we got a good group. These guys they're learning what accountability means, but big picture, they're also learning the big picture, meaning that, hey, once they stop buying into, and not so much buying into, but making sure that they can do what is best for their teammate, okay, and stop looking out for themselves, now they're seeing the big picture, which Now, if we grow together as a team and the player next to me is by far the most important player, okay, when we're going through a sequence of plays, then that's going to help take us to the next level because we have to learn how to play together. We have to learn how to play for one another. And that's the beauty of team sports. And this happens to be one of the best ones because without each other, we can't accomplish anything. It doesn't make a difference how much talent we have or don't have. We got to make sure that we're playing for each other and being accountable and making sure that we understand all the detailed aspects of what it's going to take for us to have the success that we want to have.
To build on that a little bit, Sam was talking about how you show clips from Kansas City, and obviously what you guys achieved there speaks for itself, but how do you reel back? I don't even want to be, like, disparaging to Sam because he's very talented, but you had a Pro Bowl offense. You had all that. How do you reel that back in your mind as you are in these early phases?
Well, it's early. You know, we've technically had 6 practices against our defense. So we're at the infant stages, and the thing that I have to do every day is just – make sure I take myself back and understand that, hey, you know what? What's real and what's not real? I got to observe everything objectively and see exactly what type of growth are we making. I've seen a number of players make some growth. I've seen Sadiq Charles make some growth. I've seen all the different things that Coach Travell and Coach Juan has been working with him. You know, I've seen Sam make some growth playing the right guard position. I've seen Sam make some growth. I've seen growth at a number of different positions. Now, I've also seen growth as an offense, not at the rate that you would like, but there's steady steps that are being made, which are working in a positive direction, and that's all you want. When you've had 6 practices, you got to look at it objectively and see where the growth is taking place. And we're going to learn how to get it done. I'm not concerned about that. These guys, like I said, there's some good people on this team, and there's some good people in that locker room, and they care, and they want to be great at what they do. They're just going through the infant stages right now of learning a new system and making sure they can put it together.
On the offensive line with Travell and Juan, what's your vision for that coaching area, and what do you want to see from? And I know you've got your input too. What does that look like?
I mean, it looks good. Coach Travell is he's the offensive line coach. I mean, he's running everything. And you know, we got a veteran offensive line coach and Coach Juan, who brings a whole lot of experience to that room as well. And Coach Juan is our run game coordinator. So he's been a big assistant for Travell. Travell is handling the room. He's doing a great job. If he needs help, you know, Juan gives him a word of whatever, and it helps him, you know, with throughout the preparation. So those guys are doing a heck of a job. You know, I'm proud of what they've done. And like I said, this is practice 6, so we got plenty of them coming up, especially with the vet mini camp coming up next week. And then on top of that, we got training camp, which I can't wait to damn training camp. I'm already fired up about training camp. And OTAs is not done yet. So, but those guys are doing a heck of a job.
Coach, as we get to know you and how you work, I couldn't help but notice – you know, you have a lot of animal calls, rhino, zebra. Where did that come from? Like, did that come from a certain place as far as simplicity for the offense or something that people can grasp? Because it's kind of interesting. They're all animals that you use.
You know what? I've never even thought of it. But it just basically identifies our personnel group. So just letting us know exactly who's in and giving us an opportunity to put the best personnel out there on the field. But those guys, they take a lot of pride in it, because if a certain personnel group is called, those guys know exactly who's in, and those guys get excited about being a part of that particular play when it's called.
Ron was telling us about how he's letting you kind of set the practice times and kind of going about installing this offense. Is setting like practice times and stuff, is that a new responsibility here, or is that something you did in Kansas City as well?
Well, I'll say this. Coach Ron has been great. He's been, I mean, he's, I've known Coach Ron now since the 1999 season. And, I mean, first of all, he's a great human being. On top of that, he's an outstanding head coach. I just appreciate him allowing me to have some input. And he's given me a little flexibility to help and adjust the schedules because, you know, he feels that certain things we needed to change. And I'm enjoying it because it allows me to have input. It also, because of the success that we've had, some of the things I bought over from Kansas City and how we structure things. And on top of that, it's just given me a little bit more responsibilities as far as being the assistant head coach. So it's been great. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying all the challenges and the responsibilities. It's a part of the title. And when it's all said and done with, I just want to make sure that I'm doing what is right for us when it's all said and done with.
When I listen to Eric Bieniemy answer questions, I get more confused.
Same.
As to how he's never become a head coach in the National Football League before. He is high energy. He's direct. He does what a lot of coaches do. This is not really a knock, but he's got it down. I think this is a skill. He doesn't necessarily give you much. Like, it's not going to be a thorough answer to every single question. But he, to me, sounds more like a head coach addressing a team than a coordinator.
Yeah.
Where we've had, you know, not that Scott Turner was bad at it, but you know, there is an authoritative guy in control feel when he's talking.
Without question. There's also an EQ. There's this, you know, emotional intelligence where he's connecting with everybody. His personality is infectious.
He drops like, you guys will see this. I'll get out. You know what I mean? Like, right, it's like, involving
like
everyone.
The idea that, you know, one of the assembled schlubs in an ill-fitting shirt there asking him questions who make up a trillionth of what he'll make this morning understands things on the same level. But he's like, you guys will see this. You guys will experience this.
Watch yourselves with schlubs, okay? Those are our friends out there.
Yeah. Look at my polo, it doesn't fit me right. You know what I mean? Especially after last night. I get 6.2 pounds because I had carbs, all right? Settle down. Point of the dude's story is, it's like, yeah, you guys will see this. Like, just feeding you morsels, right? Bringing everybody in. Everyone's pulling the rope in the same direction. We're all involved. It's just bizarre that he has never gotten a shot. It's, I don't know. I don't have a good, thorough explanation for it, but it doesn't make any sense. Again, he shouldn't be here. This is their upgrade. This is their big offseason move. This is their look at what we did. They're counting on him to do a lot of heavy lifting for an offense that has been on the bad side of acceptable over the last several seasons.
For the most part, they got out of this OTA session. It seems like pretty healthy.
Yep.
Bad news so far on the injury front over the first couple of weeks here is that Armani Rogers was lost for the season, the tight end, to a tear. And so he's not going to play this year. But otherwise, they've done a pretty good job, knock on wood, staying healthy, which is significant. It's number one priority right now. And they've had massive participation, as they have for the majority of Ron Rivera's tenure, close to, you know, 98 or 99%. I know there were some teams, I think it was the Detroit Lions, had like 57% of players at their workouts the last couple of weeks. And maybe, look, same team, same unit, same coaching staff, it might not be as significant. But I like how many players are showing up. I would say your movers in terms of momentum, based on all the reporting I've been reading, a lot of ink being spent on Emmanuel Forbes on defense, the rookie corner, who they drafted in the first round, who seems like he really showed up in practices. And then on offense, my guy last year that I was in love with, he did not do anything, mostly I think because he was hurt. But Cole Turner, the tight end who they drafted in the mid-rounds last year, with the Rodgers injury, there is a wide-open Grand Canyon-sized vacancy now for a matchup problem receiving tight end to step up here. Logan Thomas is their do-everything guy. He can block and he can catch. John Bates is their blocker, but they could really use someone that they can move around and in the red zone try to get one-on-one matchups and go up the ladder and out-leap linebackers. Cole Turner could be that guy, and there's been a lot of love for Cole Turner and how he's looked in practices these last few days.
Yeah, we saw some of these reports, and he looked really good in the preseason last year, but you're right, the injury kind of derailed everything. The knock on him coming out of school was, can he be an inline blocker? Can he be, you know, that we don't know what's coming when he's in the game on offense? Meaning, if he's in, it's a pass because you don't trust him to take on a linebacker or maybe chip a defensive end or something to that effect. And that's the kind of old way of thinking about positions in the NFL. We just want matchup advantages. I want a linebacker covering that guy. I want most safeties, frankly, covering that guy. If he can be dynamic, I'm not calling him Jordan Reed because they haven't made many of those guys. But if he's a Jordan Reed-like player where he's a glorified receiver and a big body, that can only help as an asset. So I'm actually hoping we get to see a healthy and sustainable Turner
circling back to the ballpark where we are in Bowie, Maryland today, home of the Bay Sox. Sunday, they're giving away Gunnar Henderson bobbleheads. Gates open at 11:30 a.m. Really cool to have Robert Hassel on the show. If you missed our interview with one of the Nats' best prospects and one of the guys they got back in the deal for Juan Soto, please make sure you grab the podcast at thefandc.com. He was very good. Cannot wait to check him out today and to put eyeballs on James Wood. For the Senators, we've got Hassel batting first and James Wood hitting third today. Two of the players returned for Juan Soto. And on the hill, big 6'8" right-hander Jackson Rutledge. He's had a really good year in Double A, man. It's been a long time coming for his age. You know, last year he was in A ball. He was too old for the level. And I don't want to say I gave up on the idea that he could be a real rotation piece. But he's thrown in Double A this year like a guy who could be in the middle of the rotation. He throws 97, 98 miles an hour. He's got a breaking pitch that gets swings and misses. He's 4-1 with a 3.18.
Yeah.
And there's a huge difference, obviously, between Double A and the big leagues. But I've always had scouts tell me, if you can do it in Double A, you can do it in the majors. Like, now it's about consistency and kind of fine-tuning some things. But really encouraging season so far for former first-round pick Jackson Rutledge, who seems to be putting it all together. He's on the hill tonight for the Double-A affiliate, the Harrisburg Senators.
Yeah, a guy that you pull for, certainly, right? I mean, we saw that tiny sample in the bigs before injury last year, trying to, you know, claw his way back up there. I mean, you know, the timetable for some of these guys where we see ages that are a little out of whack, you mentioned it, you know, you're in single-A and you're, what was he, 23 or 24 last year, I think, in A-ball, you're going, well, that seems weird. Well, then you go, okay, well, you do the math. COVID happens, you lose an entire year of development, then if there's any kind of arm trouble, you're set back that much more. We're now starting to get back to the normal course of things, right, where, you know, 21-year-olds are in the Carolina League, 22-year-olds are this place. So now we're starting to see normal, but there's still guys that are kind of dealing with those effects. And you know, kind of the old way of breaking into the big leagues wasn't the 20-year-old. You know, it was somebody, you know, 25, 26, 27 that had honed their craft and grinded down in the minor leagues, you know, finding a way just to crack the rotation or crack a 40-man. So, yeah, I am pulling for that dude. I still think he can be a big leaguer. I don't know if he profiles as a starter, GP, but, you know, until they shorten you, keep going out there and you know, every fifth day.
Yeah, as a reliever, because that size, repeating the delivery gets difficult, and he can spray the ball a little bit from time to time with walks. I think you're talking about two pitches, and you get him to the big leagues, and he can have success with his velocity and breaking ball. But eight starts and 45 innings into the year, he's striking out about a batter per inning with a whip barely over one. Like, this is going really, really well. It's been a very quiet, I don't even know if I'd call it a bounce back year, but a successful breakthrough kind of season. And when you're doing it in Double A, there's a big difference between doing it there and, say, in Fredericksburg at the lower A level. So overall, I would say a huge win for the organization that he's thrown the way that they are. It's got to be a fun time for Rizzo in this organization, by the way. I saw one of the Nats' high-ranking front office guys, Mark Shalaba, who answers to Rizzo and ran this minor league system for many years, walk by about 20 minutes ago, I'm sure here to get eyes on James Wood tonight. If you're Rizzo, like, you got to like how things are trending in this rebuild, man. Yesterday, K-Bert Ruiz hits two homers, three in the series against the Dodgers, almost hit another two. C.J. Abrams hit a bomb yesterday against L.A. He's got six on the year. He's on pace for over 20 home runs and over 20 steals as an everyday shortstop. Mackenzie Gore this week in that Soto deal struck out 11 in seven innings of three-hit ball. Josiah Gray has the best numbers on your staff. You got him in the Scherzer-Turner deal. If I'm Rizzo, I'm really, really happy with the trend of things right now.
Well, especially when, you know, mouthy, pudgy idiots like myself are going, as good as they've been at the major league level, this has been their weakness. You look at the system. When's the last time they developed a guy internally that came up and starred for them? When's the last time they drafted a pitcher that contributed at the major league level consistently? You know, beating them up over this. This has been their weakness. Even while they sustained an excellent product for nearly a decade at the top levels of the sport, this was where the hole was. And now you're starting to see it. Obviously, listen, your headline guys, we're talking about them, Hassel and, you know, C.J. Abrams in the show, Mackenzie Gore's already up there. You know, the Caber Ruiz is, you know, is obviously very good. And down here, James Wood and company, the headliners are there. But now, all of a sudden, the system is starting to bear a little bit more fruit. It just helps when you've got a couple of lead geese down there that are the better prospects. You just get more. It's almost the iron sharpens iron type deal, right, where you think about good defensive end, a lot of times had a really good offensive tackle to go up against every day in practice. Those kind of things can help.
That'll do it from Bowie, Maryland. What a fun show this was, out and about at a minor league ballpark. Enjoyed ourselves on a beautiful Thursday. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock for 4.5 hours of Grant and Danny. Big thanks to Ryan back in our D.C. studios, Darris and Tim out here making everything sound good on site. For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. Overtime with Linnell Willingham comes your way next right here on The Fan.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.